In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You were given a sheet, I think, during the hymn. Keep that handy. I'll be referring to that during the sermon, so I'll tell you when to pick that up. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh for us. Amen. Well, here we are, December 29th, on the verge of another new year. You know, for many in our world, Christmas with its special spirit, you know, its sense of wonder and joy that children have and adults hope to find again, well, that is now all past. It's over and done, quickly fading away in the rearview mirror. Ahead is the new year, and it doesn't bring a sense of mystery like Christmas does. No, for most in the world, the new year is just a full-blown, let-it-all-hang-out bacchanalia. It is party time. God brings us into the new year in the light of and in the midst of his ongoing celebration of Jesus' birth. By his scriptures, especially this morning's from the first chapter of John's Gospel, our Lord plunges us deeply into mystery. The mystery of the eternal God who is now flesh. In the beginning was the Word. This is how John's Gospel introduces us to Jesus. He is not presented as a newborn baby. He is the Word who was with God, and the Word who was God. Always, Jesus is with and is the eternal God. And he not only is, he is also active. Active and always. All things were made through him, John says. And in him was life. Life. Life for all, and not just himself. Life for you. You live. You are alive because the Word gives you life. Because he wills that you be alive. And as Jesus is the eternal God, the life that he wills for you to have is his own eternal life. And this too is mystery. You know, we certainly do not see or feel eternal life. We see and feel its opposite, decline and death. They're all over in the world. Don't try putting them in the rearview mirror, focusing instead on life's pleasures, and in that way denying them. Sin and death are among us, and we all know it very well. We see them all the time. We feel them often. But they are far from all that is, John says. They are far even from being the last word. Jesus, the Word of God, he is life and the light of men. He is the final word. For the light shines in the darkness of every day, of every age, including ours, and the darkness will not overcome it. John goes on to say he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. In other words, he's not a distant God. He's always been in and active in and shining in the world. John says he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. His own were the people of Israel. He was present with them in a very special way in the centuries before Jesus was born. And Isaiah 63 speaks of this. And here's where I want you to take that sheet and turn to it. Because Isaiah 63 speaks of the special presence of Jesus. And indeed, of the Holy Trinity, each person with Israel. And that's what I have tried to lay out for you. The left side of your page is Isaiah 63, today's Old Testament. The right side of the page, I've broken it apart for you. Isaiah begins, "I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord." And then in verse 8, he says, "He said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely." Well, who calls people his children? Is it not their father? And so it's God the Father speaking here. And God the Father, who in verses 11 and 12 says, "He put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit and caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses." So God the Father speaks of his Spirit and his glorious arm. Three. You see, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God's glorious arm, that's the Son, the triune God. He was the one present to save his people Israel. Isaiah goes on in verses 8 and 9 to say, "And he became their Savior. The angel of his presence saved them." This is God the Son. He is the angel. Literally, that word angel means messenger. He is the messenger of God's presence. Below, in the middle of that right side of the page, I have quoted for you from Exodus 14. Speaking of the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt, it says, "The angel of God went before and behind the host of Israel as they left Egypt." This is what Isaiah calls in the 12th verse of chapter 63, the glorious arm of God that goes at the right hand of Moses, spoken of as distinct from the cloud of God's presence. And in Exodus 15, I don't believe I quote it there, but if you were to read, after the victory of the Red Sea, after the people of Israel had passed through and God had brought the waters back and destroyed the armies of Egypt, Moses sang a song of praise to God. And he gave thanks for God's mighty right hand, parting the sea and destroying their enemies. And that is Christ, ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is God's glorious arm. He is God's right hand, one with God. It is with this understanding that the Apostle Paul wrote, and I've written down there for you from 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says, "I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." And finally, Isaiah is very specific in his 63rd chapter, speaking of God the Father putting the Holy Spirit into the midst of the people of Israel. The Spirit that then the people of Israel sinned against. The Spirit is that pillar of cloud and fire that went before and at times behind the people of Israel. And so in Isaiah chapter 63, we see God, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, active and present, not only in the world, but especially in the lives of his people. But 2,000 years ago, God the Son alone, through the willing service of the Virgin Mary, became present and active among us in a new way. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Word, the eternal light, became a human being. What a mystery. But why did God the Son do this? That from his fullness, we might receive grace upon grace, John's gospel says. Gift upon gift. The first grace, the first gift that Christ offers to us is his very flesh. Now a pure and holy flesh born among us, born for us who in our own flesh, in our own natures, are not pure and holy but are sinful. We cannot be pure and holy in our thoughts, in our desires, and so, neither in our actions. We, like the people of Israel of old, rebel against God, the Holy Spirit, at times by not listening to God's words, believing them, but instead choosing to follow our own desires and ways. We reject our Father's good rule to rule ourselves. Every sin of ours is a rejection of the fatherhood of God. And so God the Son becomes flesh. And in his pure and holy flesh, grows, learns the word of God, follows God's word. He honors and obeys his Father fully in his heart and then also in his actions. And this full obedience eventually also includes dying for our sins. God from the beginning had said, if you sin, you will die. And so the Holy Son of God now takes into his holy flesh our sins and offers up his life for them. And all of this he offers to you and me. John 1 says, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children through faith in him. Children who receive his holy flesh. And so we are made holy in God's eyes. And so, being holy, we receive his relationship with his Father. And that is the second gift, the grace upon grace. John says those who believed in his name were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus shares with us his very divinity, his relationship with his Father, his oneness with him. This is the greatest of mysteries, that the eternal Word became flesh so that we of mortal flesh might be joined to God and become eternal. It's a mystery that is never going to fade away in the rearview mirror, but will only become brighter and clearer as our own time of drawing near to God comes. You know, no matter how many days we walk away from Christmas. No matter how many days farther we are away from the days that Jesus walked on this earth, we are never far from Him. Because in Him is life. And that life is the light of men. Remain in the light of the eternal Word, in His words, and His life and His light will become ever brighter. Even as your days increase and the new year of His return gets ever closer. This makes Christmas so very merry, now and always. It brings us into a year that truly is already made new in Jesus. So we enter into a year in which our works are holy, and our very lives and times are holy, because we are made holy in Christ. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, and from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Thanks be to God, through the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.